Good. Amen. Right, let's get on with the teaching today, which is, there we are, we're still in Luke. No surprises there then. We're in Luke chapter 18, we're at the end of Luke chapter 18, and it's this passage here, Jesus predicting his death, and a blind beggar receives his sight. Last week, Seb spoke on the rich young ruler. I don't know, I was in Devon, and I have it in, on good faith that he spoke on the rich young ruler last week. You may remember the rich young ruler had kept many of the commandments, all of the commandments, in fact, but there seemed to be one area of life that he wasn't prepared to bring under God's lordship, which was his money and his wealth. There we are. He was a rich man. And Jesus used the spiritual gifts of discernment and words of knowledge and identified that this was his Achilles heel. He'd obeyed all the commandments, because they went through them together. He'd obeyed all the commandments. Jesus said, one thing you lack, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, then come and follow me. And the rich man went away sad because he was rich. The disciples are horrified, as they understood wealth to be a sign of blessing from God. And they couldn't believe that Jesus told the man, go and sell it all and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Peter says, we left everything and followed you. And what did Jesus do? He commended them for it. He commended them for it. You see, the difference is they surrendered everything. The rich young man wasn't prepared to. He wanted the final say on his wealth, but Jesus said, God needs the final say on that too. But the rich man wasn't prepared to relinquish it. You may have heard it said before that he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. That hurts, doesn't it? That's a real challenge. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Most of us will be among the world's top 15% wealthiest people. To be in the top 50%, you only have to earn $3,200 a year. To be in the top 50%. Most of us in this room will be in the top 15%. If you earn more than £50,000 a year, you're in the top 10% of the world's wealthiest people. It's ironic that here in the West, where we have the most wealth in the world, so many of us struggle with trusting God with our wealth. We can balk at living off 85, 90% of our income and God giving God 10 or 15%. I mean, if you're a member of this church and you're not giving regularly yet, the finance team would love to have a conversation with you. If not them, me. Really, giving is such an important part of our discipleship. For the rich young man, it kept him out of the kingdom because he wasn't prepared to let go of his wealth and give everything in the way that the disciples had. Anyway, that's last week's story. You'll be relieved to know I'm moving on very quickly from finances. We British don't like talking about money, do we? I'm happy to talk about money and the joy of giving. It's Sagir's in a couple of weeks' time. Just remember what he gave away when he met Jesus. You've got that to look forward to. Note in the diary, don't come in 2 weeks. Okay, so there's last week. This is this week. Taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus said, listen, we're going up to Jerusalem, where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to the Romans, and he will be mocked, treated shamefully, and spat upon. You can tell this is the New Living Translation because they say spit upon, which is what the Americans say. They will flog him with a whip and kill him, but on the third day he will rise again. You see, neither the rich man who we've just been looking at, who had kept all the commandments, nor the disciples who'd left everything to follow Jesus, could get into God's kingdom through their own efforts alone. You see, they might have left everything. He could even have surrendered everything if he was willing to relinquish control of his money to the Lord. But that alone isn't enough to get into the kingdom of heaven, is it? Because it's by grace we've been saved through faith, not by works, not through our own merit. Access into God's kingdom is only possible through faith in the Jesus who conquered sin and death by his own death and resurrection. Jesus knew Calvary was unavoidable. His disciples hoped it was avoidable, but Jesus knew it wasn't. He knew it was unavoidable. Only the God-man could bridge the gulf between God and man caused by sin and rebellion against God. Only the God-man, Jesus, God incarnate, God in human form, could bridge the gulf created by our sin and rebellion. the gulf between God and man. Only he could do that through his death on the cross. Jesus made a way. The rich man could find that way if he trusted Jesus with everything. The disciples would find that way, having left everything for Jesus. We can find our way into the kingdom through complete surrender to the risen Lord Jesus, because he triumphed over sin and sickness and death, and he shares that victory with us when we come to him fully surrendered and give him everything. But the disciples didn't understand any of this. The significance of Jesus' words was hidden from them, and they failed to grasp what he was talking about. Now, this isn't the first, and it won't be the last time that the disciples are scratching their heads, looking at each other, thinking, what is he talking about? We don't know. You know, they were beginning to grasp that he was the Messiah, and they probably had in their mind this picture of Jesus riding in triumph into Jerusalem on a white horse, summoning the troops of Israel to drive out the Roman occupying forces. They probably had a bit of a picture like that in their minds. So they might have grasped that he was the Messiah, but they had no idea what kind of Messiah he was, even though Jesus had talked about the prophecies of the Old Testament and appropriating those to himself as the suffering servant also. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Apostle Paul says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is what? The very power of God. Let me read that again. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. You see, the message of the cross can seem incomprehensible or even foolish until God reveals it. Your lost loved ones, who has lost loved ones in their family or close friendship circle? Quite a lot of us. Your lost loved ones most need revelation, not reason. They need a revelation from God, not reason. Reason will get us so far, it'll get you so far. But at the end of the day, you need a revelation from the living God who transcends into people's lives. We need a revelation from God that he is indeed the God of heaven and earth, the God in whose image we're made. Reason will get us so far. You see, when people come on Alpha, there's as much, if not more, about revelation than there is about reason. They'll hear the evidence for the existence of Jesus and the fact that Jesus was, in fact, God himself. They'll see the evidence for that. We'll reason with them to a point. But what they need is a revelation as they look at the lives of the Christians around them over that 10-week course. And as they begin to encounter God through what they're hearing, that is what will change their lives. Revelation, not principally reason. For those who are being saved, the message of the cross is the very power of God. Jesus' triumph at Calvary is very powerful. It is the single most significant event in human history. It is the single most significant event in human history. Jesus' triumph at Calvary. It's the means by which we are saved from the curse of sin and death. There is no other way. There is no other way to be saved from the curse of sin and death. Here's our story that Jesus, as they continue, Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. This beggar was disadvantaged by his condition. He was desperate to be well. He was determined to be heard. There's your three-point sermon. It's in there, right in the middle. He was disadvantaged by his condition. He was desperate to be well. He was determined to be heard. He was not going to be shouted down. The account of this miracle actually appears in Matthew and Mark as well. In one of the accounts, in Matthew's account, there are two blind men. And the commentators suppose that Mark and Luke really focused on the most vocal one of the two blind beggars. But Matthew has two blind beggars in the story. And in Mark, there is just the one. And his name is, do you know what his name is? Bartimaeus, which literally means son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus. It's son of Timaeus. That was his name, Bartimaeus. And what these accounts have in common is that he shouted to Jesus and the crowd told him to shut up. In all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all say the same thing. The crowd told him to shut up and he just shouted all the louder. Do you remember Jesus' lesson to the widow? The lesson on prayer in which he used the illustration of the persistent widow. What was he? Persistent and consistent and insistent. Persistent and consistent and insistent. And I was reading this story yesterday when I was preparing this, thinking, here is a perfect illustration again of what Jesus talks about in prayer. The blind beggar gets it. They try and tell him to shut up. And he shouts all the louder. I love it. He shouts all the louder. He's determined to be heard by Jesus. And he calls him Son of David. He already sees that Jesus is the Messiah. He already sees, spiritually speaking, that Jesus is the Messiah and that the Messiah can give him his physical sight back as well. He's determined to be heard. He will not be silenced. Perfect illustration of what Jesus talked about in prayer. Persistent, consistent, insistent. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," he said. Notice he calls him Lord. "I want to see." And Jesus said, "All right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God too. Only in the Matthew account does it say that Jesus touched his eyes. Mark and Luke leave that detail out. Matthew also states Jesus' motive, that he had compassion. He was moved with compassion to respond to this man's need. And he received his sight immediately. I don't know about you. Verse 41 there. "What do you want me to do for you?" Duh. Isn't it obvious? Somebody who's blind needs somebody to help them, or they're stumbling a little bit because they can't see. Isn't it obvious what he wants? Yes. But you see, Jesus will usually wait for us to ask. He won't presume or assume. He will usually wait for us to petition him. He did the same with the lame man in John 5, who'd been by the poolside for 38 years. He said to him, "What can I do for you? What do you want?" He asks us the same question. And, you know, we may think it's obvious. God knows what I want. Well, are you going to ask him? Are you going to put it into words? Are you going to petition him? Are you going to... How hungry for it are you? You see, this man was undeterred by the crowd who tried to silence him. He was determined. I wonder how determined we are sometimes in our instant society where we're used to getting what we want so easily and so quickly. He received his sight immediately, and it led to him praising God and all around him praising God. And that's what tends to happen when miracles happen, in any context. All those who saw the miracle also praise God. Healings and miracles happen through Jesus. It comprises a large part of the Gospels. They happen through the Apostles. Have you read Acts of the Apostles? Notice it's not a book called The Words of the Apostles. It's called The Acts of the Apostles, because the focus and the priority is on the actions, the acts that they did in healing the sick and raising the dead, as they'd seen Jesus do for 3.5 years, 3 years. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. They've happened throughout the history of the church. They happen today. We are that kind of church. You might as well know that if you're thinking of joining Mariners Church. We're the kind of church where we expect miracles to happen. I just want to read you a little account from an author called Randy Clark, who says this: I've seen the winds of change evident in many places when it comes to seeing God supernaturally at work. Let me tell you the story of one traditional Baptist church. Mary immediately sits up and takes notice. In Moab, I think, Brazil. When I first visited, it was a small church of about three. We're not a church of 300. We're a very small church. About 300, located on the wrong side of the railway tracks, down a dirt road in a poor area in Brazil. The pastor was hungry for God's touch and wanted to experience his presence in the services. We were there, Randy Clark and his team, for a few days, yet so many healings happened that it was amazing. Almost every member of his staff was healed of something. One man was healed of a terrible case of psoriasis, a genetic disease without a cure. 9 years later, he told me it had never come back. God can change our DNA. One woman with several illnesses had twisted legs. One leg turned out almost 180 degrees from her body. She was totally healed of everything, and her leg rotated back to normal. People with illnesses of all kinds could not get into the sanctuary because it was full. Many of them were healed in the hallways or outside as they stood in the road and listened through the windows. What was the fruit for this Baptist church? 3 years later, we returned to find that it was no longer on the wrong side of the tracks than a church of 300. It had moved to one of the city's main streets and had grown to 3,000. 3 years. We held another powerful healing meeting there. Then we did not return again for 6 years. We came back a third time 6 years later to find a congregation of 9,000 attending the main church and 5,000 more attending 4 satellite churches around the city. This time we had the greatest meeting of all. The atmosphere became electric with the power of God. Hundreds were healed, the blind, the deaf, the paralyzed from a stroke who could not walk or talk. Cancerous tumors disappeared. Cartilage that had been destroyed for 20 years was recreated. A polio case was healed. People in terrible pain from metal in their bodies were healed. One man had had numerous screws and rods put in his back 2 months before the meeting and could not stand the pain. Now he was bending over and touching his toes, bending his back backward and jumping up and down. All these testimonies resulted from just one amazing night, and we were in Brazil 2 whole weeks. Every night we saw hundreds of healings. The next year we returned again. This is the 4th visit. By then the pastor had sent out groups to start 23 other churches in the city. This time on the second night, 60 people were healed in the pre-service prayer time, 1 hour before the service. During this hour, we prayed only for those with visual or hearing problems, those who could not walk normally or needed an aid to walk, and those who had a terminal illness. Again, the blind, deaf, and crippled were healed. One little boy with a club foot just wanted to run. After prayer, his foot rotated, and he did run. 2 people with aneurysms were healed. One of them had gone blind and had not been able to see in 8 months. The other had lost 90% of his hearing and was paralyzed on his left side. Both my team and the people of the church were ecstatic. Before the night was over, several hundred more people were healed through words of knowledge and the laying on of hands. Our ministry team totaled nearly 75 people and came from several countries. The pastor of this church, who'd seen it grown from 300 to many thousand, he told me that other Baptist pastors were asking why his church was growing so much while theirs were not. He would reply, "You know those things you don't like? They are the reason." You see, these are the sign gifts. The sign gifts are words of knowledge, prophetic words, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and healings, miracles. Those are the what people sometimes call the sign gifts. Friends, they're evident in the church today. God did not withdraw them. as cessationists would have us believe, once they had been used as evidence that the apostles had written down or recorded the scriptures. Some would suggest that those miracles were just for that first generation, as evidence of their apostolic status to record the words of God as scripture. Those gifts have never been withdrawn. They continue to operate in the life of the church and have done throughout every generation. And we're the kind of church, I'm the kind of pastor that wants to go after those things more and more. And we can't take our foot off the gas. All our eggs are in one basket. There's no plan B. We have to go after these things if we want to make a lasting impact on the city of Gloucester. If we want to become a church of beyond 200 to 2,000 and beyond and plant churches, we've got to take seriously the word of God and believe that he intervenes in the lives of people today. And of course, there will be people that we pray for that don't get healed. But as John Wimber famously said, when we prayed for nobody, nobody got healed. But when we started praying for people, some people got healed. And we've just got to go for it, because all the outcomes are on God's end, not mine. He just calls us to be obedient, not successful. Anybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. What a relief. Well, I've invited, you know, it even happens. Can you believe it? It even happens in our church. We're on course for 200 good news stories this year. If we get to 133 by the end of August, which we will, because I've got three in emails waiting for me when I get home this afternoon. We're on course for 200 good news stories, but I long for the time when we have 100 good news stories in one evening, because the healings and miracles are so prolific. But I want to invite Janet to come up and just share her story from June of this year. We try and use miracles that are current rather than 12 months ago. So Janet, would you welcome Janet to come up and just share her story a minute? She looks frightened to death, so smile at her lots. Okay, Janet, they're all on your side, and we love you. Janet had an extraordinary encounter here in June when she came forward for prayer. Janet, tell us about that.
Well, to cut a long story short, I suffered a lot of loss. I lost my father, and a year later I lost my husband. And at the same time, my children all grew up and left home. So I suffered a lot of loss and sort of went to pieces. And God came into my life a year later in a big way at the right time. And I seriously believe in God. He's been with me on this journey. So I decided to have some prayer ministry for my mind, because I do deal with it, but ever so often I have a lapse, and I thought it might help me to get through that. So I believe in God, but I didn't really feel that I believed in prayer or healing, and I didn't know. I used to listen and think, oh, yeah, you know, but I didn't really believe in it. And so I did say a prayer to God to, please, if it's true, then show me so that I can go forward and get this healing. And I sort of started to lose faith in the healing and thought, oh, I feel all right, so maybe I won't go for my prayer ministry. And then I got really quite poorly, and I started to get quite low and depressed, and then some spots came up on my side, and I went to the doctors and he said that I had shingles. So I went and took these huge tablets and the spots went. And I was at church one Sunday and I was left with a terrible back pain, the nerve endings, and I was fidgeting all around and living on painkillers. And Joe, my friend, said, go and get some healing at the end. So I did. And my back was prayed for, and they laid hands on me, and I actually felt a worse pain, a really deep pain in my back. But by the time I walked out of the door, my pain was totally gone, and I said, you know, I don't want to take any more painkillers, and I hope I can tell you in a few days that I haven't had to, and the pain, it didn't come back. So I said, if you can heal my head like you've healed my back, then it's real. And I've had my prayer ministry, and I've haven't slept for years. I'm sleeping, and all my family, my friends, the people I work with, look at me and they see a new person. It's just totally changed me, and I believe in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer, big time.
Thank you so much. Yeah. That's such good news. We're going to share a few words of knowledge. Some of you may know what words of knowledge are, some of you may not. It's one of the gifts given by the Holy Spirit to the church. I used to think, well, why does God give words of knowledge? Why doesn't he just tell Mary what Mary needs rather than tell Sue what Mary needs? What's that all about? Well, I think it's this. God will often give a word to one person for another because so often we're reluctant to come forward. We'll say, oh, it's not really that important. There are more important things to be prayed about. There are more important things for God to attend to. I want to say to you, that is a lie from the enemy. It's a lie from the enemy. You are important to God. You are important to God. If it matters to you, it matters to him because you're his son or you're his daughter. Whatever it is, it matters to him. And very often when he gives that word through somebody else, it's the final prompt you need to, I think, oh, I wasn't going to go forward, but I will now that that word's been given. Because I really did want prayer, but now that word's come, I will go forward and get prayer. So my team for today, can you come forward if you've got a word? You know who you are. Come on, come forward. Don't be shy. Quick as you can. We haven't got ages. Don't dilly-dally. Kathy, run. No, poor Kathy. Kathy needs healing. Okay, now these ladies here have prayed and asked the Lord whether he's got words for people here this morning. So Mary, you're first. You're not having the mic.
Thank you. I saw a picture of a surfer, a person on the board coming into shore, and the wave behind, it was going well, but the wave behind was about knee high, and I felt the Lord was saying, that's fine, it's going well, but you need to go for a bigger wave now, so step out more to trust God for situations. Yeah.
Thank you, Mary. Jenny?
I had a vision last night of someone in a field, and it's somebody for here, and the field was completely just a big field with nothing else in it but this little fence, and this person jumped over the fence, and when they landed the other side, they hurt. So I said, what's that all about, Lord? So I really got a sense that it was someone who was actually done something. They're feeling in a bit of a wilderness, that the field was absolutely nothing else in it, and there's this one little fence, and they've taken a decision to jump this fence and to do whatever it is that they wanted to do, and they may now be feeling it was the wrong decision, or they may be feeling this isn't as good as I thought it was going to be, and the Lord is saying, just give it to me. Give it to me because I can deal with this. You need to bring it to me and I will help you through this. And that's what I got. So,
thank you, Jenny. Kathy?
I just got a couple of things. When we were singing, Steve was talking about God having our hearts and about our hearts being soft. And I felt that there were some people here today that weren't sure whether God had their heart, and that they wanted that assurance that their heart was in God's hands. So I would just want to encourage people, if they feel like that, to get prayer at the end. And the other thing is, last night I just felt that there were some people here today that were struggling with debt. And I felt God was saying, don't be ashamed or embarrassed about asking for help and having prayer and getting some help to sort that out, because he's big enough to help you sort that out.
Sally.
And I got a word of scripture, because I often think, God, you don't speak to me in words that I... But he does. I have to take hold of that. But I know that he speaks to me through scripture when I... And he gave me these words, which is in the Message. Give in to God. come to terms with him and everything will turn out just fine. Let him tell you what to do. Take his words to heart. Come back to God Almighty and he'll rebuild your life. Clean house of everything evil. God Almighty will be your treasure. More wealth than you can imagine.
Thank you, Sally.
Okay, mine's more sort of a physical one. I had a sense of somebody with a pain in their right arm, sort of come down here, but travelling down into the little finger. It's quite specific, sort of there. So if there's somebody there, come up for prayer.
Great. Thank you, ladies, very much. You can stay up here because you can pray for people. There are one or two others. I had words for a right elbow, somebody who's injured their right elbow. I don't know whether that's related to Jan's or not. Slightly odd one, but I thought I'd write it down anyway, but an infected insect bite. If you've got an infected insect bite, we'd like to pray for you. Also, an eye infection in the left, I think it was the left eye, and also sciatica. If you're struggling with sciatica, then we'd like to pray for you. And finally, the final one is if you have impaired vision and would like prayer for your impaired vision, we'd like to pray for you. Let's stand, shall we? And we'll just ask the Holy Spirit to really confirm to us what he is saying to us. He's been here with us throughout the morning. We welcomed him in the pre-celebration prayer. We welcomed God to come by his Spirit and move among us in the worship and the word. And Holy Spirit, we're so glad that you are the presence of God in the earth today, saving the lost, healing the sick, setting the oppressed free. We thank you for Bartimaeus and the story that we read, that encounter we read today. We thank you for Janet and for what you did to heal her of the nerve damage following shingles. We thank you for sleep that's been restored. And actually, that's another word. But just on that, if you've had shingles and you're still feeling the consequences of it, come and get prayer today. And also, if you struggle with sleep, come and be prayed for. Janet will pray with you as well. Father, we thank you for these testimonies of what you are doing in the earth today. Thank you that you have not changed your agenda, that you are demonstrating your power and your love and your kindness to people in tangible ways, that they might know that God is real and can make a difference in their lives today. So Holy Spirit, just would you speak to each one of us here today and help us to know what it is that we leave here with, whether it's a healing, a word of encouragement, what is it you want us to take away from this morning? Holy Spirit, just reveal that to us now. Thank you, Lord.